We like to dedicate one day a year to come out, recreation, invite your family, and we just go out and have fun. Now, over the years, we've done different things. This year's obviously a little different as we're going to Dogwood. I will tell you, they have a water slide. So if you haven't decided whether you want to go into water, they do have a water slide. You have to have the wristband to get on it. And it's the same one, I guess, that they've had for years. They have some things out in the pond or the lake to swim in. And fishing. Fishing is catch and release only. So it doesn't matter if you just caught your personal best largemouth bass or catfish, you have to release it. Take a picture of it. But those are pretty much, what's that? Yeah, they've got some paddle boats and things of that nature over there that you can get on as well. And I apologize for the temperature getting up so hot in here. This week I sited the one part of the building that has all the electric coming out of it. So it meant I had to disconnect all the electric to put the siding over it. And I forgot to turn the breaker back on for the air conditioner. So it was pushing 75 before we realized the air conditioner's not on. So it's going to take a few minutes to cool down in here again. But it'll all work out. Okay, does anybody else have any more prayer requests? Okay. Is there anything else I needed to say? You know, the last song we just sang, God's Not Dead. To realize God's not dead, you've got to come to that personal revelation. Thank you. And we need to come to grips with the fact that he's not dead. Just because you cannot see God. I've never seen God. I know his presence. I've heard his voice. Yeah, so if you're one of those that thinks that people that have heard the voice of God are crazy, I'm crazy. I have heard the voice of God two times in my life. Once I was pondering, God, what would you call me if you were to ever speak to me? And I'm mowing. And back in those days, my dad didn't buy good lawnmowers. He grabbed whatever he could and threw it together. And that's what we mowed with. And this mower did not have a muffler. It had a piece of half-inch pipe sticking out for a muffler. So you can't hear anyhow. And I'm between two semi-trailers, so the sound is just bouncing off. And in that, I heard my name loud and clear. I shut the lawnmower off, and I went to my mom, and I said, Mom, did you want me? Even though it wasn't her voice, I heard my name, so I assumed it was Mom. She said, I didn't holler for you. So I went back and I fired up the mower again. And I realized what had just happened. It was quite a few years later before I would ever hear the voice of God again like that. You can hear God's voice in his word. You can hear it through the words of people when they speak what is truth. And the last time I heard it audibly, God told me to start this church. And those of you that know the story, I told God no. I've learned that you can get away with that for a short period of time, but you'd better retract your statement and do what he said. But you know what the hilarious part is? God knew I was going to say no. But he also knew I'd ultimately obey him. So I personally know my God's alive. My God, you can quit looking for the tomb. You can quit looking for artifacts, trying to prove the DNA of Christ. Because if you understand anything, his DNA is God's DNA. You're not going to find a match on earth. You're not going to find anything to correlate that with. So, my God is not an empty hole in the, or he left an empty hole in the ground. Let's put it that way. Today we're going to pray for people. There's some life-threatening things here. I'm not here to stand here and tell you today why some people die and why some people are healed. That is not my job. I'm not here to say it's because of lack of faith or a sin or whatever. That is not my job, and that's just it. It's not my job. We'll all get to heaven and find out somewhere where we fell short. God, I believed that you could bring that job about, and I was so close. What happened? I believed it was your will. And God says, well, here, look, this is what you did. So don't say, well, I prayed to God heal me of a cold one time, and I didn't get healed. Well, I got news for you. We've got verified healings. People have been given up for dead. Families were called in. They were not supposed to walk out of the hospital ever, let alone 2 days later. We've had people healed completely of diseases. I tell you these things because normally we open up with some testimony. And today's not a normal day. But I'm here to tell you some of the things God has done. People have been provided for. God has provided. Just because we dared to ask and we dared to believe. That's the hard part. A lot of people think, well, believing is easy. Well, if it was easy, why doesn't everybody do it? Why doesn't everybody believe? It's because it's not easy. Believing is the hard part. Because you're hoping against hope. Do you understand that? You're hoping against what man says you have a right to hope for. Man says you don't have a right to believe for healing. Well, yeah. I do. You don't have a right to believe that God can provide for you in a time of economic crisis. Yeah, I do. And you know why? Because my Bible tells me that. My Bible tells me that he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Now, folks, if you don't understand the concept of what David was saying there, you have no clue of what it means to be a rancher. Because if you got cattle on 1,000 hills, you got a lot of backing. Your pockets run deep. Because I got to tell you something, he owns the 1,000 hills too. They're his. You have a right as a believer. But you know what a lot of people do? They do this. God, I'll believe you if you do this. Does that sound like love? Ladies, your husband says, I'll buy you this or I'll do this if you'll do that. Shouldn't he just do it because he loves you? Same way, guys. Okay? By the way, that highway goes both ways. You do it because you love God. You trust him because you love him. You know, Phil and I, during our 5-hour walk around the Ohio State Fairgrounds, we had lots of time to talk. And we were talking about that, about trusting God in everything. There's a lot of people right now, and I honestly have to say I do not agree with everything they're saying. They're trying to say that God didn't bring this into your life. Yes, he does. The Bible says that God intentionally led the Israelites off of the road to a dead end. He took them into the wilderness, folks. Now, several months back, we were doing some study in the Exodus, and we showed you the trail. This was basically nothing more than a water runoff that was only a couple hundred yards wide at its widest point, this trail that they were to go down. But it led straight to the Dead Sea, or the Red Sea, I'm sorry. It led them straight to the Red Sea. God intentionally led them to a place where they had no place to go forward and no place to retreat. They were forced to trust Him. Oh, but. Well, stop your button. If it doesn't kill you, it does what, folks? Makes you stronger. And God intentionally took those people there to teach him to trust him. God knew what he would do the whole time. God wasn't concerned that the strongest army in the world at that time was a mile behind them. God knew that he was going to rise up as a flame between them. And he was going to make it pitch black on the other side. So they couldn't even see their hand in front of their face. They had to stop. But on Israel's side, it was daytime. And they're still faced with a dilemma, though. I always remember this cartoon I had out of a magazine. And it showed an Israelite standing there. He's jumping up and down, yelling at Moses. Moses standing there with a quizzical look on his face. And the Israelite says, "We've got the Egyptian army behind us and the Red Sea in front of us. And you want to take it up with your staff." For you who don't get it, he raised his staff over the Red Sea and it parted. God knew the whole time what he was about to do. He led them intentionally to that one spot on the Red Sea. Now, during all this study that we've done, we got to see this particular spot. Everybody thinks it was over here in the Gulf of Suez, over by the Gulf of Suez, but it's the Gulf of Aqaba. The Red Sea splits. And at the Gulf of Aqaba, there is an area that matches the biblical description, left, right, and straight ahead and behind, of what Israel was facing. Nowhere else, anywhere else, is it matched like this. But nowhere else in this particular spot is their capability of crossing. But in this one spot, for about 300 yards wide, there is a natural bridge under the water. And divers have discovered Egyptian chariots, hoofs, spears and swords, shields in this area on both sides of this body of water. But on either side of this body of water, it drops to a mile deep. This is the only spot, and we only know this now because of radar and sonar. We can take satellites and we can take an image picture and we can see that bridge from one side to the other. It is not over here, it is not north, it is not south, it is only right there, and God knew it. He took them there. He needed them to trust Him. So today, we're going to pray for these things, and I'm going to ask you to do one thing. Trust God. You're not going to change anything by worrying about it. Not one thing. You know what happens when you worry about things a lot? Yeah, Dad's over here. Yeah. When you worry about things, you create undue stress on yourself. Stop it. It's not going to help you. So we're going to pray for these things. And don't get upset if I didn't spend a whole lot of time praying. I present it to God the way I do it, and God moves. He fills in the blanks. That's the way I prefer to do it, because I don't know everything. And then afterwards, I have some more instruction, and I do want to tell you at this juncture that the doors will be open so you can go next in between in the construction area and you can see what's been going on. You'll get the general layout. I've laid out the blueprints and marked some things so that you can see how things are going. I didn't realize nobody had actually gone up into the windows or had even stuck their head in there. My sister was like, I haven't even been in here yet. So you'll be able to see new classrooms, nursery, restrooms, and all that. So take a look at that before we leave because we'll have people loading up and doing everything else, all right? So let's go before the Lord and let's believe that God's going to do what we've asked simply because we asked. That's what Jesus said. He said, all you got to do is come before the Father in my name. We don't have to cut ourselves, folks. Ain't that good? We don't have to beat ourselves. We don't have to shave our heads and pour hot ashes over our head. All we got to do is trust Him and come before Him in Jesus' name. So let's do that. Father God in heaven, we come before You now in the mighty and precious name of Jesus. Lord, we stand before You knowing and believing that You will do all these things that we have asked according to Your will and according to Your mercies, Lord. Father, we do not claim to know the beginning from the end, but Father, we do know Your will, and Your will is to heal. Your will is to save, only if we will trust and believe You completely. And Father, we pray for Kelly. Lord God, I know she's been battling leukemia, Father, and we've prayed for her. And Lord God, we know this thing is cursed, but we pray for strength now in her faith. Lord God, that You continue to strengthen her, Lord. Surround her, Father, with people that can speak life and give her the truth and encourage her in this battle. Lord God, we do not back away from it at any point because the Bible says that by the stripes of Jesus, she was healed. And Lord God, we receive that and we stand on that in Jesus' name. And Lord God, You know what's happened to Bobby. Father, You see what has happened in his body, Father, the stroke. Lord God, and doctors are saying this and that, and they just really don't understand just yet. So, Father, I pray that You begin to move in his life, Father. But, Father, the first things first, Lord God, I know we can heal the symptoms and we can take care of that, but if we don't take care of what caused it, it's futile. So, Lord, I pray that You begin to open his eyes to the things that he's doing, Father. Show him he needs to cut out things in his life, and he needs to implement maybe some exercise and rest. Father, I thank You right now that You are showing him, that You are showing Your mercy and You're restoring the strength to his body, Lord God, that this stroke has robbed him of. Father, You're restoring the strength to his heart, Father. He will not even need this medication because Your word says that he is healed. Father, bring these rhythms back into a normal beat in Jesus' name. And Lord God, You see this cancer that is in Mr. McCarthy. Father, I curse it now in the name of Jesus. It has a name, it has a knee, and it will bow to the name of Jesus. Father, every cancerous cell in his body, Lord, I pray right now that You begin to restructure them, correct the imbalances. Father, cause every white and red blood cell to balance out now in the name of Jesus. And I thank You, Father, that You are moving in his midst. Father, that You're giving his wife strength and peace of mind, Lord God, through all of this in Jesus' name. And Lord, I pray for Jack. Lord, You know this tumor he's got in his brain right now. We curse that thing in Jesus' name. Father, this is not the first brain tumor that's been cursed, and it's not going to be the last. And Lord, I know personally that You will cause these things to shrink. You will cause these things to dissolve. So I've cursed it now in Jesus' name, and I speak life right now into his body. Father, every cell in his body to line up with Your word, with the way You created Adam, Father. Not the way we have been created in sin, but the way You created Adam, Father. I thank You right now his body's being restored and his strength is coming back. His peace of mind is coming back in Jesus' name. And Lord God, we have many students within this body. We have some we are sending off to college. And Father, I pray now that You go before them. Father, You open doors, You make ways where the devil has maybe stepped in to try to sidetrack them. Father, I pray that you go before them, set your angels round about them, protect them now, Father, as they go, Father. May they continually shine their light for you in an ever-darkening world. Father, I pray that you help them all to find their, to find the destiny that they are to go down, Father, the path of the things that you have for them. And Lord, we pray for the other children that will be attending high school, junior highs, and elementaries, Father. Father, I pray that you go before them, protect them as well, Lord God. Help them to stay focused in their studies. And Lord, I thank you that even in the school systems, Father, that even though most of us grew up in these areas, Father, they are not the same school systems that we were in 20, 30, 40 years ago. I pray for protection over them, Lord. Lord God, we thank you that you're going before our children, that you set your angels around about their school buses, about their cars. Father, that you go with them. And Lord, we thank you, Lord God, for health as well for them, Lord. That even in the midst of all these things, Lord God, that you keep their health strong. Father, for all students, I pray now, Lord, that you give them the desire to study, to know truth, to do well, the ability to get the grades that they need to keep moving on. And Father God, I pray for these other situations. Lord God, in this woman's life, I pray, Father, right now, that you help her in her legal matters, her financial matters, Father, that you show her the way, that you give her strength to stand and the ability to do what is needed, Father. I thank you, Lord God, that you're setting angels round about her children and grandchildren as they are an important part in her life. Father, you know what's going on, and I thank you, Father, that you are there even now in the name of Jesus. And Lord God, we cannot end this time of war on the floor without first praying for our country. Lord, we pray for our president. We ask, Lord God, that you guide him and lead him, Father, into all truths. Father, you know the beginning from the end. We do not. Father, we pray for our vice president. Lord God, again, we thank you that we are in this country, that we can have a voice in our government. And Father, we pray that you direct them, Lord God, that you direct them in a godly path, Father, in your path. Lord, we pray for our Congress, our Senate, our Supreme Court. Lord God, things that we do not agree with, I can honestly say, Father, we have ourselves to blame as we have let this country go. We have not prayed for our leaders, but we have taken up arms and spoke out against them instead of doing what your word says and praying for them. Lord God, we've taken issues on the wrong sides of things. We've said, kill them. We don't want them. We don't need them. We've said right is wrong and wrong is right. We've said it's okay for one group to hate and another not. Father, I, as a representative of your body, I repent now of the hatred that the church has expounded upon. Lord God, for churches that run around saying that God hates homosexuals, Father, we know that is not your heart. We know that you love them. Father, we know that you love them as much as you love us standing here today. Father, we repent of our lethargy, Father, of being lazy, for praying for our leaders. Lord God, we even pray for our commissioners in this county, Father, for strength and for wisdom. Lord God, for our police forces, for their protection. Help them to pick up on things that may have gone unnoticed, to solve the crimes, Father, to stop the drug flow. Lord God, oh, hallelujah. Father, we're going to take a stand against this now. Lord God, we curse the drug flow. Every vial of heroin that runs down this county, Father, every bag of pot that is floating around in our school system, Lord God. I curse the drug trade in this county, Father. Father, right now, lead for every one of them, Lord God, that is traveling through here with drugs to traffic it. Father, I pray that they get tripped up and that a police officer is there to make the arrest, to bring those drugs off the streets. Lord God, and I pray that these people will find salvation and deliverance in Jesus' name. Lord God, we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor for all these things. Lord, I thank you for the people here today. And Lord, I ask that as we go today, in the spirit of fellowship, that your presence be there with us, that you go before us, Father, and that, Lord God, it has never happened, nor will it ever, but that there will be no squabbles. And in the times when the men in the church just settled it by going around the corner and beating each other's brains out, that this will not be, in Jesus' name, amen. You laugh, but I just learned that about my great-grandfather. A woman told me, she said that my grandfather was, they'd go to church every Sunday, and they usually had a picnic when the weather was nice, and they'd all go out and have their food, and then a squabble would inevitably break out. So to settle it, the men would go off to the side, and they would try to settle their differences. And this woman informed me that my grandfather had a few dents in his head from a few of those. And I just stood there and shook my head. I'm thinking, oh, Lord, my grandmother was a Sunday school teacher. And I think my grandfather may have been a deacon. We won't have that, will we? Hallelujah. Well, again, if there's anybody who's driving and you've not